Hello folks, and welcome to Telling Tinder Tales, a show where people get to tell their interesting dating stories with me, Chris O'Neill.
And me, Thomason Lockwood. On today's show we have two guests, the delightful Caro and Jax. Caro and Jax sounds like a very reputable company. I don't know what business, maybe we'll find out from them. But they'll both tell their tales and then we'll ask them some questions.
Say hello folks.
Hello.
Hello.
Excellent. Coming up on today's show.
My boss comes in saying, oh, this guy at the bar, I've given him your number.
On the card is a woman with her jugs out, by which I mean she's holding a jug in each hand and she's also naked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Caro, where are you calling from and what is your story, please?
Well, I'm calling from Mallorca, from Palma de Mallorca. I'm actually French. And after a few years and visiting different countries, I've settled on this beautiful island. This is a real life story, not a Tinder tale. I met with my partner in a bar where I was waitressing. And I had seen this guy come in for a couple of times. And I was in the kitchen preparing something and my boss comes in saying, oh, this guy at the bar, I've given him your number. And so I was appalled, as you can imagine, like your boss just handing out your telephone number to guys in the bar. I was like, that's not good. So I got quite annoyed and quite pissed off, to be fair. And so when I came back out, I went up to him feeling a bit sassy. And I just said that I'm like, look, that's quite a cowardly move to just like ask my boss for my number rather than just asking me. And I can't believe he gave it to you. And he was just like, no, hold on here a second. Like, I didn't ask your boss for your number. I was asking your boss about you and he gave me your number. And I'm like, Jesus, that's even worse. So that was really, really bad. And so he said, he's like, well, I know you're about to take a cigarette break, so why don't I come out with you and we have a cigarette and we'd introduce ourselves. So we did that. We went out, had a cigarette outside and started talking a little bit about, you know, who we were, and immediately set up a date for a couple nights after that and went to a concert. And I married him last year. So there you go.
Oh. Oh my gosh. Wow.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good.
Wow.
So my immediate question for you, Caro, is the concert, what sort of music was it?
It was the place where we had, where we went for the concert was Bluesville, which was a great place in Palma. They had always really good live bands coming through. So it would be like bluesy stuff, jazz, a bit of rock.
Did you play any of those tunes at the wedding?
We didn't. We had quite an informal wedding where we just went for a dinner and then we hit the town in a bar and that sort of thing. So we didn't have a DJ or anything like this, but it was a kind of a small affair over 3 days. And that was really, really nice. The thing is, my now husband, you know, he would prop the question every so often and I was adamant that I wasn't going to get married. And then one year I decided, I kind of realized that his want to be married was actually much greater than my not wanting to be married. So I took my courage and I went over, like he works on boats, so he's out quite a lot. So I went to visit him and I had organized a magic trick. And the magic trick was the ring popping out of a cup, like asking him to marry me. And so he was very, very shocked and didn't quite believe it for about 2 weeks because he never thought I would say yes. So that was great.
Oh my God.
Very good. That was a lovely story. Did it take you long to learn the magic trick?
No, it was very quick.
Very good. Thomason, have you any questions for Caro?
You know, I have a whole bunch, but I the magic trick though has completely floored me. So wait, okay, because I'm just trying to think, like, in any of the relationships I've done, whether I'd like ever prepared a magic trick? Did he particularly like magic? What was the trick exactly?
So I bought some paper cups, and the box with the ring kind of fit nicely at the bottom of one of them where it would get stuck. So I would have three paper cups, and there was one, two, and three. And then on the other side of each cup that he couldn't see, there was, will you marry me in French, in Spanish, and in Mallorquin, which are the three languages that we speak to each other in. I then stacked the cups in the order that I knew that I needed the box to fall from. And so that was it.
Yeah. Oh, Caro, that's so intricate with all the cups and the. I feel like you could have robbed him if you wanted to.
I probably should have.
Is that how you saved up for the ring?
Yeah.
Jax, have you any questions for Caro?
Yes. So, firstly, did your boss come to the wedding?
No. Definitely not. He had some very, very strange ways of doing things, and we did not remain friends.
I think that's fair. I did also wonder, you know, he knew your number, he knew about your cigarette break. What else did the boss tell?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. I mean, the boss actually said to me, he's like, oh, and he does that, he worked at that place, so that's a really good, you know, that's he's probably earning quite enough money and so on. I mean, he had no idea. He was just talking out, without having any idea whatsoever. Somebody that would just keep on talking, but really not making much sense.
Wow. I have to say, when you were first telling the story about, you know, you going out and confronting him and saying, like, you know, you're a coward. You asked my boss for my number. He should have just asked it himself. And he was all like, no, you misunderstand. For a minute, I thought you were going to say, no, you misunderstand. I wanted the boss's number, not yours, lady. Like, I was like, is this about to go, in a weird direction? I want to know what is it that your husband saw that first intrigued him about you? Were you just kind of walking around waitressing? Because I used to waitress and man, I was a sweaty mess running around. No one would have fancied me in that condition. What was the allure? Did he ever tell you?
I think he quite liked the fact that I was a Mallorquin. I think he was quite attracted to the fact that I was a foreigner. I think that was one of the reasons. And we had this all black uniform with this long black apron on the front. So you're kind of I think it looked quite good. I would always have really, really bright red lipstick on, always. And so I think that between that and the fact that I'm really chatty, that might be quite appealing. Yeah. Mm.
Oh, good answer. We actually had an episode a while back with this guy who went on a date with this girl, and he was bringing up her bright red lipstick as a red flag because she put it on he was describing it almost clown makeup. He was like, she just overdid it. But I was wearing red lipstick at the time of the podcast and I got roasted. So I'm really happy to hear of a story that red lipstick ended up in a lovely husband with a lovely little magic trick. It gives me hope, Caro.
I'm glad. I'm happy that definitely red lipstick does work no matter what they say.
All right. Any other questions from you, Chris?
No, I think that's pretty much that's enough, really. Magic trick gets husband. That's pretty much as much as you can ask for. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Great story.
Lovely. Thank you. Well, we're not quite done yet, Caro. Now I'm going to bring us on to our next guest, Jax. When you're ready, tell us where you're calling from and tell us your Tinder tale.
I'm calling from Edinburgh. I'm autistic and ADHD, which means I can't decide whether to be a musician, a comedian, or a drag queen. And my story is kind of about how magic can get you a husband as well. So I first met my husband when we were both at university. We were studying the same course, but we were in different years. And at the time, I was very much into reading tarot cards. Mm. So I would do either three card readings for people, which were kind of this is what before has been like, this is what now is like, this is what the future is like. Or I would go into these kind of longer readings that were more kind of in depth and covered a lot more things. So I'd met him a couple times and done short readings for him. And I remember thinking that he was fit. A couple weeks after, I was doing a reading for his friend in our university cafeteria. After I'd finished that one, he said, would you mind doing one for me? And I said, of course. So started laying out the cards, telling him what was on there. And there's this one card in the Rider-Waite tarot deck called the Star. It's got a really beautiful meaning. It means hope, faith, purpose, renewal, spirituality. It's gorgeous. But the design of the card is what was quite interesting in this case. So the design of the card, on the top, there's a lot of stars in the sky. There's one particularly bright one. And then there's this wonderful landscape. There's a kind of, it's by a lake, but it's slightly on grass as well. And on the card is a woman with her jugs out, by which I mean she's holding a jug in each hand and she's also naked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The way that I like to do tarot is I will look at the kind of traditional meanings, but I also like to go quite instinctively. So if something jumps out at me on one of the images, then I will kind of focus on that. And in this case, I could just see tits. That was all that was popping out to me on the card. And I was like, it was such a strong feeling that I almost felt like I had to cover myself up in the moment. And yeah, I couldn't really get past the tits. So I was just kind of like, is there any chance you're a tits man? And, you know, I think he's not fussy either way. But
as it turns out.
I just couldn't get past that. So after I'd finished doing a reading for him, I also, you know, would do readings for myself every now and then. And I was in the mood to do a reading for myself. So I started laying out the cards. I said, do you mind if I do a reading for myself? And he said, only if you feel happy telling me what the cards mean, because he was quite interested. And I was doing this reading, and on the kind of position of the card that kind of meant this is the answer, this is the thing that you want to do now, was a card called the Knight of Pentacles. Knights in tarot tend to mean like someone kind of go-gettery, you know, youngish, who has a lot of vavoom. And it can represent people from different star sign groups. So there's kind of earth signs, water signs, air signs, and fire signs. And this one was the Knight of Pentacles, which is an earth sign, which is Virgos, Taurus, and Capricorns. And I felt very strongly, I had this feeling that it was a Taurus. And I also had a feeling that it was him. But I didn't want to be like, this is you. You know what I mean? So I just said, you know, this is suggesting that I speak to a guy or someone around our age who is a Taurus, Virgo or Capricorn. And he said, I feel really strongly that that's me. Which was, yeah, both of us had this really strong feeling that it was him. And so I ended up kind of talking to him about some things that had been going on. I'd kind of come out of some relationship troubles, and I kind of I probably not very gracefully said, oh yeah, it just kind of feels like I've been going through some shit. And his response to that was probably one of the coolest responses to anything that I've ever heard, which was essentially that, shit can be turned into manure to help things grow. And I just thought that was lovely. And we're still together nearly 15 years later.
This is such a wholesome episode, I have to say, because Caro and Jax, it doesn't usually go this way. It's usually a lot more upsetting. This is so lovely, and I'm loving the magic theme. First of all, I just want to say, God bless tarot. Can you imagine, like, drawing a picture of, like, a naked lady and then, like, drawing a picture of the guy you fancy, going over and being like, we should be together, right? Like, you're like, gotta bring it pre-drawn.
It'd never worked for me before.
My first question is, are all the cards drawn so sexy in that particular pack, or is it just the star card?
I think it is just the star card, you know. I was thinking about it and whether or not anyone else was just fully in the nud, and I'm pretty sure it's just that card. So, you know, it was clearly meant to be.
I was wondering, actually, do you still do tarot reading?
Sometimes, yeah. I've kind of lost an act a little bit, but my sister-in-law has a habit of buying me different tarot sets. So, yeah, I still do occasionally, and now I've got a lot of choice.
That's such a sister-in-law thing to do. Like, oh, what do I buy her? Oh, I heard she likes tarot. Okay, right. That's her, you know, it's the personality. I'll just get her tarot every year. Like, it's such a sister-in-law gift. I love it, though. Chris, do you have any questions?
I mean, I like the way you masked, basically, the fact that you fancy them by picking up cards. It's a good technique. It's got very little downside. You know, oh, it's just what the cards are saying. Cards are saying we should be together forever. It's not me, it's the card. Yeah, are they marked on the back? Carefully, yeah.
Nothing I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Involved a lot of counting.
I have, I actually have saw tarot twice in my life, twice when I was having relationship issues. And the first time was really helpful. The second time, they were like, yeah, you're gonna meet a guy, and he's not from these lands, and he's having work stress at the moment. But and he was giving all these context clues that then, and he was like, oh, he's gonna be a little bit older than you, and like you're currently looking at each other, like you're going to meet in the next few weeks. And I was like, oh, well, that sounds great. And then I actually did go on a date with this guy, which fit all of the parameters. So in my head, I was like, well, this is it. This is my husband, and we're going to be together forever. Because also, he read my palms, and apparently I'm going to have a big, big love of my life too. So I was like, great, fantastic. But it wasn't working out. And I remember about 7 dates in thinking, oh, but the cards were really gunning on this guy. Like, maybe I'm wrong. This is such a lovely story. And so my question to you, Jax, is have you ever done any tarot readings, whether it's about your romantic life or anything, that have gone wrong?
Well, actually, before I met my husband, there was another tarot reading that I did for myself that was kind of like, do you know what? You've got to put yourself out there and, you know, really go for it. And I had kind of a similar thing where the next person who I interacted with who wanted to date me, I was kind of like, well, you know what the card said, go for it. So I'll go for it. And he was kind of 3 days after adding me on Facebook, he told me he loved me. So that was not good advice from my tarot cards. But I think other than that, it's kind of been uncanny, some of the things I've been able to like work out from the cards about different people that I wouldn't have known otherwise. So it is a weird one, because I think logic tells me that it shouldn't make sense, but then I actually do the readings and I'm kind of like, wow, I don't know how I got that information, but I got it.
Interesting. Caro, do you have any other questions?
Yeah, actually, I had a question for Jax about the tarot reading. I do some tarot reading myself. I used to do it in the bar. You could get a drink and a 5-minute tarot reading.
Oh!
Vermouth with Caro's tarots.
Wow, that's great.
When I do it for other people, as you said, it's quite intuitive. It just speaks to you. It just comes out. But I just hit a wall when I tried to do it for myself. And I was wondering, like, did it take you practice? Were you able to do it for yourself from the beginning?
Yeah, I think I was able to do it for myself pretty early. It kind of felt like every read that I did before I actually started reading for other people was sort of for myself. Because, you know, I kind of think in tarot, there's no coincidences.
Yeah.
So if I'm picking a card from the deck, it might mean something to me in that moment. The cards have a different tone to me when I'm doing it for myself. If I'm doing it for someone else, they're very open and kind of, okay, this is what's going on. You know, have you thought about this? This thing might be coming up. Whereas when I'm doing it for myself, it's quite a kind of like, really? Really? Like, what are you doing? Like, why do you see things in this way? You are an idiot.
Yeah.
It's definitely a different experience, but mostly because my cards like to read me for filth.
I love it. They're like, you fancy this guy? Go for it. Tits.
Tits. Chris, any more questions?
No, I don't think so. I think I've found out all I want to know about tarot, basically. That's where I am at the moment.
Great. Well, listen, before we head off, thank you to our guests. Caro, is there anything you'd like to plug before we say goodbye?
No, not really. I just want to thank you all and wish you all good things.
Excellent.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. Max, is there anything you'd like to plug before you go? Any socials or anything like that?
Absolutely. So on socials, I'm Jax Braithwaite for music and comedy. I'm Baby Belle UK, which is B-A-B-Y-B-E-L-L-E UK for drag. And I'm going to be posting more clips of my Edinburgh show, Baby Belle Young, Dumb and Full of Autism, over the next few months. So enjoy.
Fantastic.
I have seen that show and it is really brilliant. There's a particular song in it called Learning to Drive Age 30, which really spoke to me. But it's a great show. So also, please do give us a follow, give us a review. As a small and up-and-coming podcast, that stuff really makes a difference to us. Give us a follow on Instagram at Telling Tinder Tales. Do leave us a review. If you liked us, please give us 5 stars and we will give you a tarot reading. But if you give us 1 star and didn't like us, I'm going to magic you into a wart-covered, pus-ridden toad.
And that is a terrible threat.
I think that's the scariest one yet. I scared myself. Chris, anything else to add?
No. It's just sort of thank you very much to the guests and to our wonderful producer, Lucy, and to you for keeping me company. And of course, thank you to the listeners for giving us their time and their ears and all that sort of stuff. Thank you and goodbye.
Bye.
Adios.
Bye.
Telling Tinder Tales is hosted and produced by me, Chris O'Neill, and Thomason Lockwood. Produced and edited by Lucy Regan, with music by Kinkas Morera. It's a Jester's Comedy Dublin production and is no way affiliated with or endorsed by Tinder. If you have a story to tell, please get in touch. Details are in the show notes. And if you like us, instead of swiping right, follow us on Instagram and or TikTok at Telling Tinder Tales.